Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to read a little bit from the prophetic word for 2021. It says, "For the Lord says, do not be discouraged. I'm about to take down unusual giants. I'm about ready to take down unusual giants. I'm about to cause there to be a season where the enemy has tried to advance this way and that way. The Lord says, I'm causing him to flee even seven ways. For the Lord says that this is a season I'm releasing once again. Warriors, warriors begin to arise. Warriors who know that it is not by might or by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Warriors who know that they carry, warriors that carry spiritual weapons, not natural ones. Warriors who know that their greatest weapon is their praise and their worship. Our greatest weapon today. Our greatest weapon today is our praise and worship. We don't have to do this, but we choose to do this morning. We choose. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst. Father, we thank you for your healing touch this morning on Tom's life. We thank you for Tom sitting in our midst this morning after surgery this past week. He guided the doctor's hands, and he's here this morning. That's a miracle. Deb's a miracle. Linda's a miracle. Jeff's a miracle. Every single one of us, God has his hand on us. You know, and as we were singing that song this morning, Linda's sister Sharon is spending the weekend with us and her husband Ron. And we listened to a message this morning about Peter. You know, Peter was in the boat. And Jesus was walking on the water. And when Peter saw him, he said, "Lord, bid me to come." You know what happened? What did it take for Peter to climb out of the boat, get into the water, and go to Jesus? What did it take? He had faith. Jesus had to have faith in the person that was out there in the waves. He had to have faith. And this morning, that's what we have to do. We have to have faith that our God is going to do whatever he says he's going to do. I'm believing that word for my wife. He said that she would be healed completely. And I believe that. And we're standing on the word this morning that Linda is healed. Hallelujah. Tom is healed. This morning, there's perfect blood flowing through Bethany's body. Hallelujah. No more cancer. No more cancer, period. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The only announcements that I know of is there is a Zoom meeting on the 19th of January, 7 o'clock. So put that on your calendars. Join in. Join in the people around the world. It's an awesome time for men and women of God to be able to speak into our lives around the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We get to give this morning. Hallelujah. We get to give. You know, we aren't forced to. We aren't forced to give. But we're only giving back to God what He's already given to us. He's given us 100% of everything that we have. And all He's requiring is the 10%. Is the 10%. And I want to read Malachi 3. Starting with verse 8, it says, "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you in your tithes and contributions? So you are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation, of you. Bring the full tithe into the house, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. And see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you such blessings unto you that you cannot contain it. And I will rebuke the devourer for you, says the Lord of hosts." That's what our God says He'll do. That's what our God says He'll do. If we bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, He says He will open up the windows of heaven. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out on us blessings. I don't know about you, but that's what my God did for me and has done for me. Even in this year of pandemic, He's opened up the windows of heaven. And He's poured blessings down on us. So Jeff, will you come? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You this morning. God, we thank You for everything that You've done for us. God, that You have blessed us beyond our wildest imaginations. You've blessed us. And Father, we thank You this morning. God, we thank You that we can bring our tithes and offerings to You this morning. And Father, we willingly bring our tithes and offerings this morning. And Father, we simply say thank You. Thank You for everything that You've done for us. Everything, Father. Everything. We give You praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may bring your tithes and offerings. It is well this morning. Hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, praise and worship team. Hallelujah. Thank You. Thank You for ushering us into the presence this morning. Hallelujah. We get a special treat this morning. We get a special treat this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Jen's going to bring the message this morning. Kids, you are dismissed for Children's Church. Hallelujah.
Good morning. How are you guys? So, the first thing I'm going to do, but this is only for ladies and guys who like this color, okay? I don't know if any guys like this color, but so I grabbed this Bible. It used to be one of my favorites, but opened it up this morning, and it's very, very small. So who wants a free Bible? I'm going to put it right here. Anyone can grab it. It's brand new. It doesn't even have my name in it. So anyone can have that Bible because I can't read it. Sad, but true. It's very, very sad. So anyways, giving out free things this morning because I can't use them. All right, so before I start, I want you guys to be thinking about your favorite Bible verse, one that like really speaks to you, okay? So as I'm speaking, I want you to like at least have that or just be thinking about that, okay? And so welcome this morning. I'm really excited that I get to speak this morning. It's just always an honor and a privilege. And I was thinking about it, and the last time I spoke was November 16th, 2016. And that was a long time ago. Yep. Yes. 4 years ago. So it's kind of a miracle that I'm up here. So it's interesting because I remember that last thing I spoke. It was at a women's conference. And I spoke, it was about a guy's subject. It was about football. It was about getting pushed, like, you know, in football, you get, like, knocked down all the time. And it was about getting back up and getting back up again. And, yeah, so it's kind of wild. And so Tom had the crazy song, you know, Get Knocked Down, Get Back Up Again, that song. That was playing in church last week, by the way, for those of you who missed it. But it was like your sermon, like, really inspired me last week. And so I, you know, this year it's just watching sports because that's what I do. And I was watching Jack play football this year, and in one of the games, like, we just sat and froze all the time, and we just wonder how these guys could play. And I remember, of course, my eyes always on, like, you know, that number, the number that you know I'm talking about, and looking and making sure he's not hurt. Forget about the game. I don't even care. Just I don't want them to be hurt. And so one play, I looked and I saw he was doing something different. And I'm like, I told Chad, I'm like, he's hurt, he's hurt, he's hurt. And he looked at me and he was like, Jen, it's a stinger. I have no idea what a stinger is, but you guys obviously do know what stingers are. He's like, it's a stinger. And I was like, okay, well, is he going to be okay? And he's like, Jen, Jack has to learn to play. He has to learn to play hurt. He has to learn to play hurt. Otherwise, you know, whatever. And I was just like, well, go. I want to literally run out to the field and be like, are you okay? And like, that's what every mom wants to do, is run out there. But he said, they have to learn to play hurt. So he never went out once in that game. And he just played hurt. He doesn't hide it as well as Storm did, but I know, like, when he's hurt. And so I'm kind of throwing out a lot of stuff today. And so you got to play hurt. I do not like playing hurt. I am a wimp. I'm kind of a wimp. I'm a wimp physically and probably emotionally. So I haven't liked to play hurt. And what I'm meaning by that is that's why I haven't spoke for 4 years. Okay? Because I think I'm supposed to be perfect if I'm going to get up here and talk to you today. So I'm a very imperfect being today talking to you. Okay? I'm playing hurt. Okay? So just want you to know that. Thank you. So, but one of the things, to be honest with you, that makes me feel the most alive is speaking. It really is. It's in it, and teaching, actually teaching. And so I love it when I can teach more like this, or if I can teach just one-on-one. I love doing that. And so I decided that I will inherit the fullness of my destiny. Okay? And so I want you to write that somewhere, take a screenshot or something, and I want you to look at it, okay? So I will inherit the fullness of my destiny. you know what, if I don't play hurt, I'm not going to play. I might not make that touchdown. I think in that game you made a touchdown, which that's not even the position that you play, Jack. But he made a touchdown on that one because he played hurt. And so I decided that I needed to inherit this. And so I want you to think about what makes you feel alive, because I know that all of us are hurt in some way. I know that. I know all of us have been hurt in different ways. And so I want you to think about what makes you feel alive when you do it, when you say it. And if you say, you know what, there's nothing that makes me feel alive, then I want you to explore other things. I want you to try new things, because who knows? I bet you Darla did not know, she's not even hearing it right now, but I'm talking about her, did not know that when she cooks and people like talk about her buns, that it makes her feel alive. And I know it does. But it's not just about this spiritual getting in front of people and talking. It's about like what you do. It's about the gifts that God has given you that you have inherited. And so today we're really talking about inheritance. And that's really what God has been putting on my heart, is I will inherit the fullness of my destiny. And so I think what it's funny, and when we talk about inheritance, what do you guys think about? Money. We think about money. Here, you get inherited money. Well, I'm not talking about money today. I love money, and yes, bring it to me, inheritance. But you know what? I'm not talking about inheritance today, okay? I've been thinking a lot about, we sang about it today as well with your soul, about being prosperous, about being wealthy on the inside, okay? And so, you know, that's what I'm kind of talking about. And I think inheritance is interesting because it's not even something that we earn. It's something that we've been given. And we can't even work for it. It's given from one generation to another, and it's also the gifts that God has given you. Here you go. You got that gift. You got that gift of teaching. You got that gift of playing football. You got that gift of helping those people. You got that gift. We all have gifts. And we have to use them. And so I'm just throwing out lots of things, like I said. So good mental health is our inheritance. And this is a big deal. Our soul is our inheritance. And a lot of people, and I'm not going to get into it, but in the church, don't even believe in depression. They're like, you just need to do that and whatever. But I just want to say, overall, good mental health is our inheritance. It's our inheritance, and we're going to talk about that a little bit. Our soul health. If you say, I'm not good in my soul right now, I we all can relate to that. We've been there. And so a prosperous soul is our inheritance, okay? And so just, I want you to ask God what your inheritance is today. I just want you to ask him. And he's going to start revealing it to you, what your gifts are and what your inheritance is. And so today, I just want to speak a blessing over your life. I want to speak a blessing, and we've kind of been singing it, and it's just kind of another, I'm just saying it is well with your body. So just put your hand in your body. It's well with my body. It's well with my body. It's well with my mind. And it's well with my emotions. So last week, Tom was talking about responders and reactors. And I was thinking about what you said about the responder. And he was talking about when he was laying in the bottom of the bin and the first responder came. And I was thinking about responders, and I want to be a responder, and I tend to be a reactor. I really do. And like when you were talking about it, I'm like, and it's been a goal of mine for a long time. Like, why can't I just respond? And in some ways, I do a really good job responding. And then in other ways, I'm just a reactor and go anxious and crazy. And so when you're talking about responders, I was thinking about this. She came into a very bad situation. First of all, she answered the call. She answered the call. That responder answered the call. She went to you. And you said that, I don't even know all the story, but you said that it was hard for her to get into the bin. And she was like, I can't believe you're making me do this. And she went to you. And she stayed calm. She talked to you. Yes. She assessed your wounds. She got you help, right? She didn't tell you about her day and all her stresses. Nope, she didn't bother you with those. She focused all of her energy on you. to get you to the place where you could be safe again. She didn't think she was the doctor. She didn't try to fix everything, right? She knew her part, and she showed confidence in it, and it made all the difference in the world. And I feel like that is what we have to do in, well, for ourselves, but also for other people. And sometimes I think that's the gifts that when we're overflowing that we can give each day, that I can be a responder for someone, or I can, you know, and you know what? We all need responders. Chad and I have had this conversation several times. We're just like, have you ever had a friend that just didn't talk about themselves? And I'm just saying, like, have you ever had one? I just want to know. Who came up to you and said, how are you? And actually listened and didn't talk about themselves. It feels really good, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. It feels really good. And that's actually why I have a job. Because people want to come and they want to talk and they want to be validated and they want to be accepted. And they want you to help them. They want you to assess them. And we really need to do a better job of that for our loved ones and for our friends and for each other and for ourselves. And so responder is where we want to be. We want to get, and you know what? We don't have to be anything. She didn't need to be a doctor. She didn't need to be the surgeon, because we have to know our chain sometimes we feel like we have to do everything. No, just know your part, your little part in the chain, your link in the chain, and it'll change everything. And so I'm going to show you, so God gave me a tool, okay, and he gave me a recipe, what else could I say, a secret, something for us to get excited about, and that we can take tomorrow and we can use it. Well, actually, we could take it today and use it. Okay, you guys ready? Are you ready? Okay, so this is a Bible that I actually can read, and I'm going to be reading out of two passages today. One is Joshua 1 and one Psalms 1. So if you have your phones, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to that. So we're going to go to Joshua first. Okay, and we're going to read that first part. And Danny, it's interesting that you read, already said, be strong and courageous. I just laughed because that's what I'm reading. So in Joshua, what was going on is Moses was dying. And remember, Moses, he was leading people into the promised land, into what? The inheritance. And so Moses, he was dying, and they hadn't entered. And so Here's where we are in Joshua 2. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, he said this, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, go and arise over the Jordan River, you and all of your people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and the Lebanon, as far as the great river of Euphrates, and the land of the Hittites, and the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you, and I will not leave you or forsake you. And then he said what Danny already read today. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide an inheritance of the land which I swore to the fathers to give them. Only, then he says it again, only be strong and be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe it to do according to all that is written to it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. He's walking into the promised land. He's supposed to lead them into their inheritance. And so the Lord has given us tools. And I just read something, and it's the whole promised land is waiting. All of our inheritance is waiting. And I want to ask a question. What did those people do in the wilderness for 40 years? Do you remember what they did? What did they do? They grumbled and they complained. So what out of their mouth, I can't do this. This is hard. I can't do this. And they walked in the wilderness for 40 years. God's not enough. Grumbling and complaining. And did you know that we have an inheritance, but did you know that we are responsible for our own prosperity? We are responsible for our own prosperity, for our own success, for our inward prosperity and our success. No one's going to do it. No one's going to do the work. I want to ask a question. How many of you have ever stayed up all night worrying? Has anyone not? I just want to know. Okay, so then, you know, you already know how to meditate. You do. You know how to meditate if you do that. And so now I'm going to be talking about meditation. And now what we do is we just switch what we're thinking about. Because usually I stay up and I think about the bad things. Oh my gosh, how am I going to do that tomorrow? Blah, 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 right? And I meditate. And I don't even know I'm meditating, but I'm meditating and my brain goes. So if we go back to that passage, Joshua, like, what does he say? He gives a lot of, you know, he's given a lot of instructions, isn't he? He's like, go to the Jordan, go over it, do this, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous, go into the promised land. But he hardly gives any directions. But there is one, and this is the secret. Are you guys ready? I already read it. My word, the book of the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then your way will be prosperous, and then you will have good success. What did it say? The word. And if anything, I could speak about this today, because it's the word. It's the word. It's the word. It's declaring. And you know what? Biblical meditation is a thing. It's a thing. I promise you, it's a thing. And so when we go to Psalms 1, let's go to Psalms 1. We should know this by heart. This one by heart. Okay, Psalms 1. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Do you know what that means? His delight is in the word. His delight. So it says, blessed. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings fruit forth in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he shall do shall prosper. So Psalms 1, it's declaring blessed. It is declaring our inheritance. And so I just want to ask you what meditation is, and we'll talk about it, or we'll talk about what meditation is. So to meditate on something is this, to reflect. In some cultures, it's to moan. It's to mutter. To ponder, to vocally repeat, and the focus of meditation is on God. It's on his glory and his ways and his works, okay? So has anyone ever been to the Wailing Wall? What do you see? What are people doing? They're praying and they're rocking back and forth. They're using their body. They're using their, some people are making noises. Some people you can understand, some people you can't. And that is a form of biblical meditation. It is speaking something. It is the physical coming out of the biblical meditation. And so to focus on meditation is to focus on God. And when we speak on things, guess what starts happening? It starts becoming a part of us. And it really like starts abandoning outside distraction, all the noise. And we know, you know what I'm talking about, the noise of social media, the noise of the news, the noise of all the things going on in our lives, the noise. And pretty soon, we can't hear anything. But meditating is saying, I will choose. Brain, you're going to think about the word of God. And it's you have to choose. It doesn't just happen. Psalms 145 says, on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works, I will meditate. And in Colossians 3:16, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. So I want to know what your style of meditating is. If you were going to meditate, you have to figure this out. And maybe you don't know, but what would it be? Mine, if I'm going to say it, is to sit on the keyboard and to just play those chords over and over again to It Is Well, and just sing It Is Well, and it's just over and over, and I literally could sing it for hours. And it's just, that's my form. It's just, it's moving, it's hearing certain tones, it's hearing music, and like it will do something to me, because then so much stuff is going on in my brain. I'm thinking about God. I'm thinking, I feel His presence. I'm proclaiming it. I'm doing so much. Some people just want to moan. And that sounds weird, but they want to like make a noise. And in therapy, when I'm doing therapy, some people find healing in moving, in movement. All the people who just walk around my office, they just walk. The whole time we're having therapy, they walk because they need to move, because they just need to move. And so some people need to move. Some people, you know, some people could rock back and forth, or you could just make a noise. Yes, God. Yes, God. I know this is weird. It's biblical meditation, but hey, it works. It works, and it's our tool. And so you have to find some what works for you. Some people, it's just praying. It's praying, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You just say that all day. It could just be, Holy Spirit, I need you. Do it. You know, you got to find what works for you. Maybe it's just sitting, listening to music. That might be your form of meditation. Maybe it's chanting something. Maybe it's singing. Maybe it's muttering just under your breath, like the scripture that God gave you that morning. Maybe it's moving your body. It could just be anything. But I want you to try this. It's freedom. It's freedom in its a manifestation of what's going on. It's the physical response to biblical meditation on His word every day and what we're doing. And so, again, I'm talking about being wealthy on the inside. Being well from the inside out, with so much on the inside that when I get so encouraged, guess what? Then I meet someone and it's welling up, and then I can encourage the next person. Because if I don't have it, then I can't give it. So that's what this is all about. It's, of course, it's about feeling. But when I'm wealthy financially, then you can give it to other people, right? When I'm healthy and wealthy emotionally, I can give it to other people. And I want you to think about in your life, just like in the days of Joshua and Moses, there's conquests, there's journeys, there's battles, personal journeys, there's business, there's family. What is your inheritance? What is the promised land where you feel alive? What can you give to others? And I heard this, I don't know, in Bible school when we were studying the Stephen Covey book, I want you to ask yourself the question, are you in survival? It's the four S's, you guys remember it. Okay, are you in survival? Survival is basically making it just through every day. Waking it up and going, oh my gosh, can I make it through the day? That's my goal. And it can be in any area. It could be physically making it through the day. It could be emotionally making it through the day. It could be literally just making it through the day, just walking and making it through the day. And that is the wilderness. And I know that some days is just surviving, right? But if you stay there for too long, you're living in the wilderness. And so the next step would be stability, where, oh, you know what? I didn't just make it one day. I made it 2 days, actually, and now I made it 3 days, and now I made it 4 days. I made it a week, and I'm feeling pretty good. I'm feeling pretty stable, from survival to stability to success. Now I'm learning tools. I'm learning ways to like really help myself and help others, and I'm reaching out to God, and I'm successful. And then we get into a place of significance where we can actually help others, and that's the stages that we want to go through. And sometimes I ask myself, and sometimes I'll be in a stage of significance in one area, and then I'm in like surviving in the next. And I really think that we have to like really be self-aware about where you're at. Like, where are you? You know. So since the pandemic has started, I have been seeing a lot of middle schoolers, because they're like in their rooms doing homework in the dark. Not doing very well. And they say things like this: I can't do this. I can't. I'm not able to wake up for this Zoom. I can't do school. School's horrible. It's the hardest thing in the world. I'm not doing well. Here we go. And that's all they say to themselves out loud every single day. And some research that says that when you speak something out loud, it actually makes it, like, gets into your cellular, you know, whether it's negative or positive. And so what's going on is every single day. And I know people are doing this, like, every day in their jobs too, not just these middle schoolers in their Zooms. But it's, like, happening at a younger level. And so I was thinking about this, and Jack, I'm sorry, I'm gonna embarrass you. But Jack, he'll call me every day. And if he's struggling, like, these kids are struggling, and then they go, then their grades are good, then they struggle, then they go good, and it's just, like, the hardest thing ever right now. But he will be, like, struggling with a few classes, and I never hear, ever, from his mouth, I never hear, I can't do this, I can't do this, kind of what I was talking about, right? Because that's where, you know, this is what he says. He speaks his plan out to me, and I actually sometimes I'm like, okay, why are you telling me this? But he's like, okay, Mom, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to have this, and then Jet's going to come over and help me with math. And he's speaking it. And he's speaking his plan out, and he's talking. And then the next day he does it because he spoke it and he does it. And pretty soon, guess what? The grade's up because he had a plan, and he's always talking about it. And Jack, I've never told you that, but that's, like, super inspiring to me. And I know it's these simple things, though, but it's a key. It's a key to success that you speak something out loud, and that you have a plan. And even if it's, like, a plan for what you're going to do for the day and how you're going to conquer it. Okay, I'm going to get up at 5, and then I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to do that, and then I'm going to go, and then your brain's like, okay, here we go. And it starts, pretty soon it starts following. And God's just, like, right there. And so I really feel like this biblical meditation, picking out scriptures and, like, meditating over them and talking about them and speaking them out loud and speaking out loud plans that you have, it will actually start getting into your body, and it'll affect your body just like negative things will. And so I think, what kinds of things are you going to speak out? You're going to speak out a plan. Yes, start speaking outside, out loud, what your plan's going to be. What? Start talking about what God did last time for you. This is the meditation I'm talking about. Okay, God, you know what? You did it for me last time. I have faith that you can do it for me again, because you were with me when I did that last trial, and I conquered it. That was my conquest, and we conquered it because you brought me through it. God, you were with me in this. Now you've provided this. Now here we go. I trust you because you did that for me. And pretty soon we're on this journey, and we're moving towards the inheritance, and we're not traveling around the wilderness in grumble mode or sad mode or I can't do this mode, because our brains will go there. It's normal. We either do that or this. And I mean, I know that, like, I've did this so many times before where at night I must be tired or I must be, like, struggling mentally. And I literally throughout the night will talk myself out of working the next day. I seriously will. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's 5 and I'm calling in. Yeah. Because you're like, you create this whole thing, this whole scenario and this whole plan in your head. And you're like, I'm really sick. You know, and then you are sick. And I just think we can totally do that. And I know that sometimes we are sick, but I have been there and done that, and I it's an interesting thing that happens. So the interaction, when we speak the word of God, the interaction of the word actually starts rewiring your brain. But you have to choose it. You have to choose the scripture that you're gonna meditate on, or even if it's just, God, you're my strength. God is my strength. God is my strength. God is my provider, Jehovah Jireh, and you just say it all day long, every day, or Holy Spirit, I need you. It can be, like, the simplest thing. It doesn't matter, but you choose it. You choose it. And pretty soon, when your brain starts going over to that other place that it will automatically go to, by the way, I could sit in my office all by myself and literally go in different places where my brain brings me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And you could be crying, you could be mad, you could be this way, you could be, it's all, it. But if you say, it's like kind of like putting something in front of you going, okay, this is what I'm looking at. Okay, brain. And then your brain starts going that way. And pretty soon, it's going that way instead of that way. And it's what we choose. And so meditation is so, so powerful. We need to start declaring what God has said. Okay, harness your brain, harness your emotions, harness your mind, and it really is. And I think that's the discipline that God is talking about today. Yes, it is a secret and it's a recipe, but it's a discipline. We practice it. We practice biblical meditation. And that's what we do. The success of entering the promise for this nation, what we were reading, was for the people by not letting the word depart from their mouth. Be strong, be courageous, be strong, be courageous, be strong, be very courageous. And they did not, that's what he said. It was so simple, one thing, that's it. Then you enter the inheritance. Now, a lot of things come with that. But that one thing he said to us, he didn't say how to be strong or how to be courageous. He just said, don't let the word depart from your mouth. So it hasn't changed. To be strong in this hour means that you're going to have the word in your cells. In your cells. In your mind. In your mouth. Psalms 1, saying it over and over and over again, and no one can remove you from being connected to him. So I think it's so important that we just say it. That we say, find a scripture and say it. So that we are not removed from him. Have you guys ever heard of, so, you know, we know of California, the California fires, and there's droughts here and there, and there are trees that have never died, and guess where they're at? Where are they at? They're by the river. And even if the river goes way, way down, their roots are so deep that they can access, it can access the depth and the water. And it, guess what? They never die because they're connected to the source. And so it's so important. And, you know, those trees, they bloom in every season. They bloom in every season. They're not dying. Their leaves are not dying. The roots reach down to where they're out, where there's always more than enough. And that's what happens when your roots, it'll start when we focus on the word, our roots will go deep. In Psalm 63:6, David says, when I wake in the night, I think about the goodness of God. And when you wake in the night, is that what you think about? Or do you worry? Because sometimes I don't even think about it. That's not my time to think about it. But David said this. And if you read the Psalms, that is a very good, I don't know. One time Jeff and Chad and I had to read the Psalms. Do you guys remember that? At like 3 in the morning at the Bible reading marathon, and we read the Psalms. And it was crazy. Like, I felt like I was on a mental roller coaster. David was happy, and then he was sad, and then he was this. And we looked at each other after, and we're like, wow, that was intense. Intense for a lot of different reasons, but intense because we just went through David's whole like mental world, you know, and it was really intense. And so David said, when I wake up, I think about what you have done. I think about your goodness, oh God. So when we start saying, God, I remember when you did that for me. I remember when you were there, I could feel your presence. I remember that. When we bring our minds back to that, we start feeling differently, and our faith starts growing, and things start, and our roots grow deeper. So the health of your soul is through the connection to him through the word, just like those trees. So the things that we meditate on are the words of God and his ways. Okay, his goodness, his patience, his kindness, his mercy, his love towards us, what he has done for our children that we asked for. In my office, part of the assessment when someone comes to see me is to ask about family history. So I say, do you have a family history of anxiety, a family history of depression, family history of ADHD? I do that, you know? And I look at my own family history of anxiety, depression, substance abuse. The list goes on and on for all of us, right? But today, I want you to remember what God told me and what God told us in the Word, that good mental health is our inheritance. It's the church's inheritance. And so, although we struggle, it is our inheritance. Can you see the promised land for you? Can you see your way out of this? He gives us tools. Now, does that mean it's all just going to be gone? No. We have to work hard. And we have to be self-aware, and we have to help each other, and we have to respond to each other. But it's totally doable. It's our inheritance. It's our portion. It's our portion. And when you say that it's my portion, it's my inheritance, nothing, no one can take that away from it or from you. So I want, who has their favorite verse? Anyone? Okay, I'm going to share my verse that I meditate on, okay? So my verse is, and this has been my favorite verse for a really, really long time, is I am about to do a new thing. Even now it is coming. Do you not see it? Indeed, I will make a way in the wilderness, streams in the desert. And that's one of my favorite ones. Another verse in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Or there's songs that I meditate on. The songs we sang today. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. And pretty soon you're like, yeah, you know, because you're feeling it. You're feeling it in the depths of your soul. I will praise you. Something in me has to. Like, you know, these are the songs that I just sing. And so going back to up there. I will inherit the fullness of my destiny. And so I'm going to ask a few of you, if you would, to come and share your favorite verse. So come on up here if you're willing to share your verse that you're going to meditate on.
My favorite verse since Lynn has had the issues, and that's Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No weapon formed against you will prosper. That's only part of the verse.
That's a good meditation right there.
Okay, the one I love is, in him you are complete in him, for he is the head of all principalities and powers. You were circumcised, not with the circumcision made with hands, but the putting away of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Jesus Christ.
Anyone else want to share theirs?
I guess one of my favorite scriptures ever since I was saved is in Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, and it's as a young man, I didn't believe I could do anything or be anything. And I remember asking a teacher, I said, does that really mean what I think it means? Mean that I could be, I mean, all my life I was told I was dumb and stupid and won't be able to mount to anything. And I said, so with God, I could actually be something? I could actually do something in my life that would make a difference? And he said, that's exactly what that scripture means. And it forever changed my life.
Wow. Mine is Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And it's neat as a young Christian, you think, you know, first you get God and that's a whole new revelation of just him in your life, which is so awesome. But then as you go through life, you get hard times, right? And sometimes you end up in the wilderness. But what I've learned to discover is the kingdom of God within you then. So it goes deeper and say, what is your gift and your call? You know, young and old, it's so awesome because you can say, the kingdom of God is within me, and that goes with my desires. Because what my desires are isn't your desires. And so you can search, again, it's that responsibility, but it's so awesome because that means we're not cookie-cutter Christians. And so what I love, my desire in my heart, it goes deeper than just, oh, I get stuff. I get something I really want, right? God meets you on that level and he'll give you your stuff, but there's something deeper, like what's in you. And that's so unique, and it's a treasure that we can unpack our whole life.
Anyone else?
I have quite a few, actually, but I'll read this one. It's Matthew 21:21. Listen to the truth. If you have no doubt of God's power and speak out of faithfulness, you can be the one who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to that mountain, be lifted and be thrown into the sea, and it'll be done. Everything you pray with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Mine is just all faith scriptures because I really believe that. That's what I confess. Because if we have faith, nothing is impossible.
I think as you go through different seasons of life, there's a verse that jumps out at you. You can tell I've been through a few seasons. The verse this season is, stand still and see that I am God.
I just wanted to affirm you in your word that you brought today. I was coming to church today, and most people, when they come to church, they decide, what is it I want to get out of church today? You know, some people are like, well, I want to come and get a word, or I want to meet somebody, or I want a song that'll bless me. And on the way to church today, I just said, Lord, I'd just like to hear your voice, you know? And when we walked in, I noticed Pastor Jake wasn't here, and I said, Lord, who's going to bring the word today? And I saw you on the keyboard, and the Lord said, Jenny has a word. So the Lord has affirmed you and the word that you brought, and it's a rich word. And I find that when it comes to meditating on scripture or what's your verse, we all have some, I guess, that we've grown up with, but then we have some that we grab for the situations that we're going through at this time. And I was, you know, because I ran for political office, I'm a little bit more interested in what's going on than maybe the average person, but I've always hated injustice. And I see a lot of that going on. So I was pretty frustrated with what's going on in our country right now. And Diane's been listening to different Christian voices. And I said, look, I don't want to hear one more prophet. I don't want to hear one more bat in the belfry. I don't want to hear any more about this. You know, I was just ticked off, you know. And so I was walking around, you know, having a little fit of carnality there for a while. And enjoying it all by myself. And then I finally came across that verse. I said, okay, Lord, here's where I'm at. We make these faith confessions like, Lord, I believe, but I like Matthew 9:24, but help thou my unbelief. The reality of it is, you know, we make our faith confession, Lord, I believe this, but secretly the reality of it is we struggle even with that. But I realize that if we can ask the Lord for help, he'll give us help. So I was like, okay, Lord, I believe that you're still going to work a miracle here. Lazarus was already starting to stink. This whole political thing starting to stink. But I just believe that you're going to be able to do this. But in the process of that belief, help thou my unbelief. So that's sort of where that's comforting for me right now, because even though I don't believe, the Lord's going to help me with my unbelief. So that's my comforting now, and I hope that comforts you if you're struggling in an area where you're saying, I believe, but then when you leave the church, and you're all quiet, and you're saying, but Lord, help me with my unbelief.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Everybody knows this one, but nothing is impossible with God. And I've seen that one so many times in my life. But anything comes up, just stop. Say, okay, nothing's impossible. And he'll direct you. And he'll bring it about. It might not happen just like that, but it will happen. So this nothing, just say nothing. Yes.
Amen. One that always sticks with me, I learned in Wednesdays when I was in junior high, Pastor Fred would bring us, and he taught us this scripture. But as I've walked with the Lord, it means a lot. There's nothing really like your children if you think of how you love your kids, and they almost could do no wrong to fall outside of your love for them. And it's really like that with God, and our faith is what makes all the difference. And I know sometimes there might be days where we don't look a lot different than the world, except that he's our Father, and we've accepted him, and we belong to him. And so, anyways, Romans 5 is, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into his grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And I love that scripture. Amen.
Anyone else? Awesome. I feel like, I don't know how you felt, but when people were saying their scriptures, did you feel comforted? Like it was like covering, kind of like comforting, you know? And so it's just interesting because this is the law. This is the word right here. And it's so underestimated. And so I pray that this week that you can really like grab a hold of some verse, whether it's an one that you've known forever, or if it's a new one, but that, and it can start making a difference in your life, because the word will change you. The words that we speak will change you. And so this morning, I just want to speak over your life, words of life, and that God is for us. The Holy Spirit is here. He has walked among us this morning. And if anyone needs prayer this morning, we'll be here to pray for you. And Pastor Tom, we're just, wow, you are here. You are just like, wow, you know? And so, yeah, he's here.
Jen's here. This is the season of miracles. You guys, this is the season for all our miracles. And it's, I know naturally, but there's so something so deep spiritually happening right now. We can't miss it. I don't want to miss our visitation. And Jen, this is a word from the Lord, but it's your life. That's what makes it so powerful. This is our lives, guys. And we need each other. I needed this word this morning. As Jen, as you're speaking, thank you. Because I know it wasn't easy, you know? I know it's not easy. I know when we fight battles to even just come here sometimes, but this encourages, and this is why the Bible says we got together daily, because we're about to face, and what we face, but I need you guys, Frank, when you speak, all you guys, every one of those words speaks to my heart, and it's so powerful. So I just want to thank Jen. The atmosphere here is just fantastic, because we're in the season of healing, but we're also rising up and walking in our new day and focusing on that. It's your new day. It's all of our new days together, and I feel like we're all in that together. So I'm so moved by this, and I love it. I'm so encouraged by it. And Jen, this is a miracle. It's really awesome, Jen. Thank you so much for doing this, because I know it's not easy to do this. All you guys, it's been a blessing.
All right, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you so much for everything that you've done. We thank you for the healings that's happening physically, emotionally, and psychologically, God. And we just pray that your word would, that we would choose to put your word into our bodies, into our mouths, and that we would speak it, that we would think it, that we would do it. And Lord, I just thank you for your inheritance that you've given us, the gifts that you've given us. And I pray that we would never forget that our mental health, our good mental health, is an inheritance from you. We just thank you so much in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great week.
Somebody resetting the button on your computer, and it's sort of, it's good for it once in a while. So thanks for being obedient. For